You are listening to Jaya Ashmore. You can find hundreds of meditations and talks on my websites, jayaashmore.org, jayaashmore.org, as well as opendharma.org, opendharma.org. All the recordings are offered in the tradition of generosity or dana, and your gifts are welcome. Thank you for listening. The first thing I'd like to talk about is as we start to arrive and have some permission to unwind, feeling where the idea that you're going to meditate, if it brings any stiffening, whether physically or emotionally or mentally, and not buying into that. So letting the feedback come that there's stiffening somewhere that goes along with the idea of meditating. And accepting that feedback as, oh, that's unnecessary. That's the idea of meditating. And the way that that idea doesn't fit me. And more towards the feeling, almost as if you were alone on this Friday morning, somewhere beloved. Maybe still in bed, or back in bed, or on that grass, or whatever. And feeling the different way that gravity might start pulling at you. Maybe with more of a smile than when you thought you were going to meditate. You thought you were going to get serious or get real. And it's just sort of gradually sifting down out of the thought level. And it can feel like the opposite of getting serious and getting real in many ways. As we start to shift from the thought level, the nervous system level, into a level, if you like, or mood of discovery. Not as a project, not as an arrow, but just almost discovering that we can discover, like, oh yeah, I don't know what life is. Oh yeah. And it's most often a more childlike discovering that's allowed to happen when we're allowed to remember we don't know. We're allowed to remember that the thoughts and the nervous system's version of living is just one small part of our universe that we participate in. From birth to death and before and after that. And so not knowing can be kind of like a raft or a piece of driftwood that we can float with for a while. Remembering not to know through past, through words in the mind. Not to learn through the nervous system so much, but by coming into this fluid life and the gravity that we actually feel, and that helps us notice where we're getting stiff unnecessarily. Stiffness is most of the time is unnecessary. It's not that it's wrong, but we can just let gravity act upon our stiffness. And let already okayness act upon our stiffness. We don't need to pretend or defend in those ways just now. Maybe. And maybe just allowing one or two or three breaths to be big. Partly, maybe with the in-breath, helping the body kind of snuggle into the earth or find where that interface of body and earth isn't quite comfortable yet, and maybe another cushion or blanket or less cushion or blanket. Slight change of angle, even of just one hand, can make a pretty huge difference in the meditation, in the mind, in the energy. So it's all a field of medicine. And feeling free to play around with that medicine. Kind of marrying this childlike discovery with some kind of sense of mastery emerging from not knowing. Mastery and childlike qualities. Mastery being like a sense that you are at the center of your life. Something in you is at the center of your life. The center of your life is somewhere in you, not somewhere outside of you, of yourself. I notice that I'm speaking really quietly. Can you hear me in the back without stream? Not so much. Okay. So big or small changes or shifts in what we could think of as more the dynamic of your posture, how the body is positioning itself. Not so much as a process that you'll keep on working at during the next hour or 45 minutes, but just feeling how dynamic it is to be in a position. How much the body position influences what's happening in the thoughts and the emotions, the moods, the energy level and quality, the relationship to past and future, and this room here and now. And so, unless you do really feel like you're sinking into a widening, rooting, and opening kind of dynamic of posture, where you wouldn't like to move a single millimeter, a of any part of your body, unless that's what's happening. I would encourage and recommend playing with, just for example, turning a hand over for a moment. You don't have to keep it that way, or just a slight shift of any part of your body, just for fun. It's kind of like warming up to remember the childlike centering discovery, interest in life. So even just shifting that the hand is a centimeter or an inch higher or lower towards the feet or the rib cage or whatever. Maybe as if the pelvic bowl is really headquarters, it's where our real, as if that's our real brain. As yet undiscovered. And so feeling the body as if from there, from the hips, sacrum, tailbone, genitals, lower belly. The inner and the skin and the bones, muscles, the flow through there. The aliveness through there. And kind of emanating from there. And if the pelvic bowl would be our headquarters, then it doesn't matter so much what we're thinking or what our face is doing, what our chest and shoulders are doing. All of that is way on the periphery, way unimportant. Secondary. Just gradually and just very gently, more with the metaphor of something like a cloud in our discovering of the pelvic bowl, rather than a kind of line or button of a machine that we would turn on or off. We're just gradually in a cloud-like way discovering, what do I sense? What do I know of hips, genitals, pelvic floor, so the very base of the main body, between the legs. What do I know of buttocks? Not so much whatever image might come in the mind, or names of body parts, or memories, but just now. What little bit do we know? And then, of course, also the back, sacrum, tailbone, and everything that kind of comes off of the lower back and feeds into the lower back. And maybe more and more resting towards the back, even if you're sitting up or lying on your side or front. Letting it all kind of come home. Maybe even, if you like that kind of thing, a sense of as if breathing in and out through this very lower body area. So, imagination of breathing could be through the belly button, even, or it could be through the sacrum or the hips. As if we're sipping the in-breath through the hips or belly button, or breathing it in through the lower back, filling the whole body, and then breathing out. Just if you like that kind of thing. And/or discovering just now as it's happening any sensations that might come from the movements of the breath. Just as a really simple, as if we're just drawing with crayons for a while. We're not going anywhere. Staying humble with this remembering that we don't know what life is, and yet here life is. Life is here. And so maybe really getting back into kindergarten, where there's this strong sense of I don't know, and yet here it is, I'm in it, in the middle of what I don't know. And only through life, the possibility of maybe a discovering of what life is, even a little bit, all in the same place. And we can start to feel towards entering retreat, with this very strong pulling back from those more adult sounding ways of being, that we're supposed to kind of figure it out first and then do it, complete it, be successful at it, be perfect already, etc. Just pulling right back into what is, much more humble than we thought, much more potential than we thought, much more fun than we thought. Probably. And all right in the same place, much more demanding than we thought, much more simple, much more staying honest and true with and to yourself. And that would be what I would call entering retreat, is where you find your own willingness to stay simple, humble, honest, and true. With and to yourself, your life stream, not what you thought about yourself. And that's where you can find what is important in these 3 days that do include the morning and the evening where you're not in this room. What do you need? What would be more playful and demanding and possible? And sometimes it can mean kind of navigating interpersonal dynamics where you dare to ask, to even think within yourself of asking, what about simple silence throughout? And that might cross some boundaries in some dynamics, internally, externally. And that might not be what staying true is for you, but just in case. It is. Not because you should, but feeling your own willingness. To give your life stream priority. Over habit energies. So entering retreat can feel a little bit like entering a birth canal. So deeply natural and potentially demanding. Asking everything. And that being willing to ask and be asked everything. To put it all, to put everything in. In itself, immediately fulfilling. So the possibility of our first important discovery that what we may have been looking for all along was just that. A willingness to put it all in, not to postpone putting in everything. And I believe that somewhere in each of us, that willingness, that simple, so, so simple willingness is here. Or we wouldn't be here. Not just here in this room, but here at all. And so to nurture our willingness might be primary. No matter what, to nurture our willingness to put everything in, no matter what. Everything in, and then how do we describe what that is, putting everything in to honor this mysterious life stream that we're in, participating in the midst of, part of everything through, within that. So if by any chance you happen to feel some resonance with what I'm saying, which is certainly nearly impossible that everyone in the room at this moment would feel that. In case you happen to resonate with these words and feel something of willingness, maybe just feeling in the body where that feels more present or easily accessible, or what kind of flavor or taste, quality, and just kind of to hang out there for a little while with that. And sometimes it's more of a staying with a sense of willingness, and sometimes it's again and again letting that, simplifying the equation, happen. Like, oh, just the willingness to be here. Unconditionally. To realize, here I am, and here I am. I can't really bargain about this, here I am. There's not really negotiation. Here we are. So it could be like staying with a sense of simple, humble wholeness or here-ness in the willingness, and sometimes it's more of a coming back to again and again, letting that simplification happen over and over. Oh yeah, here I am. Oh yeah, here I am. Oh yeah, here I am. And then just to review, we've already gone through several what we could call techniques that you may or may not resonate with. And one is just being silent together for a few moments at the beginning with no instruction. Sometimes that leaves the most room for discovery and is most empowering. So if that's the case, then playing with that, we could call method. The giving no instruction method. Or another track or trail or mode could be getting comfortable feeling unwatched in a beloved place. Or playing with the medicine of the slight shift of posture, or staying with the posture and feeling how it influences the mental, emotional, also deep mental, and other layers, maybe energy or subtle body. Or playing with noticing where there's a stiffening, something feels stiff, maybe trying too hard, or feeling not allowed to be yourself. And acknowledging that that has an inner impetus, so hopefully. It's not true outwardly that you're unwelcome in any way. And whether that's true or not, that the inner dimension of not feeling welcome as you are, as a stiffening, hiding, defending, and just allowing gravity to have you. The deeply natural unwinding. So not stiffness as a problem, but as a ability to feel. Something's gone off track a bit. And we could let a feeling of stiffness help us find our way back. To being at home. With or without any adjustment of the body, finding our way home. or coming into embodiment in the pelvic bowl, lower body, lower back, discovery. Of what it is, not through image or word or past or comparison, but just the little kind of flashes and momentary blips, morsels of sensation. And feeling towards how relaxed can we be and still receive that and feel that life stream in the lower body. Starting to unlearn our conditioning that tension would help us to be present. Unlearning that and finding that relaxing allows discovery. So playing with leaving more room. For discovery. And in a way, feeling for if one method or another might be more helpful for you, then it would be what leaves more room for discovery. For that playful yet demanding receptivity to what is. What helps us stop making things up, stop trying to imagine, figure it out beforehand, but actually receiving the world unfiltered. And so usually all the ways that we try to filter our experience keep on, they continue. And we also simultaneously start to notice a less filtered, more direct layer of sensation, sound, and being. So you could feel free to continue with any of the things I've suggested so far, or with your own stream. Just as good, if not better, something that you've come to just now, fresh. That's helpful towards continuity. And usually there will be, almost always, many, many times, many, many opportunities for this sort of miracle of noticing I'm somewhere else. Somehow, though I was distracted, something here has noticed that I was distracted and has gotten the attention of me and just made a pause in that programming. Momentum for a split second. And so the sort of triumph of that despite all our conditioning and programming, something can notice. That my conscious me has gone away somehow. And that even so, the life stream continues unfiltered. And we can get a glimpse of all that filtering going on and then this unfiltered stream. So what I think about the sounds or sensations, or what I think about last week or 10 years ago or tomorrow, the judgment and comparing that's usually mixed in there, trying to control that's usually mixed in there, trying to get it right that's mixed in there. We can notice that that's all going on and taking up a lot of bandwidth, and yet it's almost like discovering a whole other level of or layer of bandwidth that has room, that can accommodate the body stream, the sound stream that's also going on continuously. And so what if we don't need to do much with all that filtering that the conscious me is usually caught up in, almost all the time? That's normal. And yet, accommodating, oh, there's also body and sound. There's also maybe even some deep okayness too. Despite the alarm system being on, there's also somewhere that's okay. Anyway, no matter what, maybe. And just the glimpse of those kind of two layers where there's all the filtering and there's the unfiltered or less filtered. And just staying with that. Sometimes there's just a natural dropping into the unfiltered a little bit more room for it. Often with a lot of hesitation, like, oh, is this what she means? Is this okay? Is this enough? Just that sensation of hardness or warmth in the left hip, or whatever, wherever. The simultaneous sort of pressure and lightness in the lower back, spreading, sinking, grounding, opening. Or just the discovery of some tension somewhere. And just staying with the unfiltered. Okay. The sensation, accommodating that sensation of tension with a ground of okayness. Just that. And really allowing yourself, please, to feel, whenever possible, what a revolution that is. Partly just in the fact of it being so simple. Just that sensation and okayness. Even if some other parts of you are really freaking out, sure that you've got it wrong and everybody else has got it right, etc. All that filtering. Way up there, like the waves at the top of the sea, and settling into the ground, becoming the sand. The waves of the breath and the other rhythms and streams of the body going on by themselves. Sinking in. Life goes on in and around, deep down and way out in the superficial, all of it. Going on by itself. And just if nothing else has really caught on for you, then it could be helpful to just fall into the rhythm of the breath, as if you're on a walk and you sort of get into a rhythm walking, just getting into a rhythm of letting the breath kind of carry you. If you're not already on a kind of trail or flow, if you're not already feeling what feels something towards ground and open, allowed to fully be here as yourself, including all that part that feels like surely you can't be allowed to be here as yourself. That's fine. That's allowed, included, and welcome. Just not true. May all beings be at ease, fulfilled, joyful. And awake to what is. Would anyone like to ask or share something? Yeah. Yeah, definitely I can say. The way I put it in the meditation was to feel the kind of unfiltered sensations along with, it's like being with it and being below it rather than being with it and being above it. Sort of like, here's this sensation and I've got to do something right with it because it's really a problem and oh my God. And the whole way that we'll map like internally and externally the problemness of it and freak out, you know, and control and all of that comes on. Whereas if it's just as it is, as if, of course it's metaphorical above and below, so head and then some other more okayness, something bigger than that sensation alone, and something that maybe gives a different, gives a context actually to the sensation, allows the sensation to be, oh yeah, this is a participation in a context. It's not just a discrete what would that be from up there? Well, problem really, like mark on a map or something. It's like, oh, this is in conversation. And the conversation, hearing that as conversation, it gives the dignity, like it's honoring, even though this is uncomfortable and it's a hard, it's very demanding to unstick uncomfortable with wrong, less than, worry, etc. But like, oh, as conversation, as a as coming from dignity with dignity, it's actually helping to find a leading edge that's not just ignore the pain, not just be stoic with the pain, not assume that it even is pain as an idea. But also, let's assume there's some discomfort or pain in the sensation. That's aliveness saying something and asking for maybe more intimate conversation. And so I for whatever reason, I call it the amoeba shift. So it's coming to where something is like, ah, and from a sense of not enoughness, alarm system, nervous system, we would respond one way, which tends to increase the disconnection and usually the discomfort in the long run. Or if I hear that discomfort as the kind of tail end of an amoeba, where the tail end says, that's not food, and the mouth end says, well, there may be some food around here somewhere. If I know that that doesn't quite fit, there's something out of balance or out of order or out of alignment or harmony or something, and that's why it hurts, or when we start to say why, it starts to get back up. It can easily sound like I'm talking about that mental map. But from here, it's like, oh, discomfort can feel its way towards healing or towards alignment, Or maybe it's not that kind of discomfort, and it can say, oh, this is that kind of discomfort that's like a growing pain or a birthing pain, or and we can just stay right here and not make up all those stories or let those stories go, pinball around, but actually just stay here with not knowing. And we find that that was a coming alive, like circulation coming back through. Or I think that could be like two main categories of discomfort. One is where it's something that is kind of asking for some reorientation, which is growthful, which is aliveness. Or it can be just, we could almost call purely growthful. It's purely the circulation coming back through and it's uncomfortable. But there's no other adjustment needed than stay. And that the staying mentally is an important factor. It's a significant factor. When there's even a little bit of like, oh no, something's wrong, that we're then we're broken. We're not fully in. And then the not fully in is a further discomfort that takes things another direction. So when it's like, I really honor that I really don't know, and this does really hurt or is really uncomfortable, I would love to get rid of this. But my calling feels like stay, 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 stay. Not as a punishment, not as a challenge to achieve something, but just as a life form, staying true to the mysterious center. And so we start to get the feeling of when it's circulation coming back through, when it's the feeling of, oh, so this applies also not only physically, and often it goes together, the physical and otherwise, of discomfort. It can be like, oh, me? I never realized that all my life I have been dismissive of that part of myself, that type of person, that type of work, that type of whatever. And it's like, oh, I can be more fully alive. I can let go of that whole busy department of resentment or, looking down upon something or looking up to something, like just, oh, that can drop away. And at first is like, and I survive? Like, really? And then it kind of becomes integrated and normal, and we don't sort of usually, the natural process doesn't, it's kind of like our digestive process. There'll be this contraction and release, contraction and release all along a way. during the contraction, it's hard not to freak out. And sometimes during the release, it's hard not to freak out. Sometimes that's like, ah, and we'll the freaking out is more like, oh, I'm about to get enlightened or something, like, oh, I made it. And then it's like, well, that leads to the next contraction, release. And then the caca goes out, we're done. And we're hungry again or whatever, what I mean to say is that we would think that that was so hard during that contraction time that once it's over, we're going to look back and be like, wow, I did it, and we're just on to the next. Like children, like us when we were small, learning all those things we learned, it with language or with walking, with movement. It's really fun and really demanding to learn to stand up, to learn to stand up holding on to something, to learn to stand up without holding on to something. But we don't then look back and be like, let me keep standing up forever, because it's such an achievement. It is such an, it's so heroic when you see a child like, ugh! And they're so into it, but then they're into the next thing. And that's not something wrong. I think our conditioning is a little bit like if something is that demanding and you got the diploma, then you should just be the diploma or something. It's like, no, that serves something else. So there's something of, coming out of our habitual sort of dishonoring and dismemberment to honoring and remembering. And it starts to allow a very tangible sacredness, kind of, that is both not mine and mine. Like, it's not quite true either to go to one side or the other. So in the Buddhist language, it would be not mine. And in whatever many other sacred lingos, it would be mine. You know, with a big M or whatever. And it's kind of finding what's true about not mine and what's true about mine. And it just, it brings us to a quality rather than a quantity. There's a feeling of there's nothing. And the greatness of the, both the greatness of not having anything to hold on to, and also the very specific quality of that. And I think that sometimes we're both in a lifetime more one way or the other, more easily feeling, yeah, this is mine, or this is not mine, and kind of coming to the intersection of those two statements, where the quality shift is enough. It's so enough, so such a fulfillment, and allows what could seem to be sacrifice, what could seem to be struggle, what certainly seems to be gift, spaciousness, voice, and I think as we get accustomed to living that way more and more, it's more and more clear that the togetherness that we are. And so there's a lot of unwinding of how we activate in the presence of other people so that we can discover this togetherness. So I'm just trying to think back to what your question was and whether I answered it or not.
And beyond.
Okay. So I'd like to just speak a little bit about standing and walking, which are considered postures in the Buddhist tradition for meditation, for remembering. So mindfulness, really the literal translation of sati or smriti is remember. So can be interesting. I find it more and more funny that if mindfulness has mostly to do with being present here and now, that is actually remembering, which we usually think about as, like, what was that thing that happened yesterday? I can't remember. So what, remembering what makes sense in terms of being present, so that we can deepen the meaning of mindfulness into meditation. So I'd like to ask you, if you would, to stand. If you are just so good lying down, so stay lying down. And we'll just go through this in about 5 minutes. And then there's a, just so you know, then there's a break officially for standing or bathroom. So just feeling the sifting through the body with changing the posture. And another kind of dynamic that can be a struggle, and it can be the also sometimes discovery feeling, the joy, joyous, triumphant discovery of meditation practice, is feeling our sensitivity as, maybe I'll just keep moving around a little bit. Doesn't seem like maybe it's clear here. Mostly, people would come to meditation to find refuge because we're so sensitive, and it's just like we're overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed doesn't work very well. And we'll feel that sometime first, maybe more physically or more emotionally, more relationally. And so it's recovering how sensitivity can be a power instead of a weakness. That also means like where our soft spots start to be empowering and leading instead of like something to hide, cover up, or hide from. So in just coming from lying down or sitting to stand up, there are lots of sensations. And if you can kind of, it's almost like catching a wave or catching a jump rope or something, starting to catch where being able to feel so much is joyous, is delicious. And that would be then walking meditation, which is walk, of course. And the fact that it's so different from moment to moment, lifting the foot, and then like, whoa, wait, the toe just still touching the ground. If you do it slow, you'll fall over. don't be alarmed if slow walking is hard to balance. That's normal. But you can, so just for now, we could play with the feet a little bit apart and the eyes closed if you like. And just slight, you know, partly lifting the foot as far as you want. Again, feeling for that sweet spot of where it's really you're in a group, but you're feeling for your own natural rhythm, which is not necessarily something that you've tasted very often either. So it's not only trying to find your normal rhythm, but if you are a flower or a leopard or a wave, which you are. So at home. So important and helpful for most people to have that movement with stillness, complementing each other through the day. And part of what's helpful with movement is we can notice more easily when we're controlling or imagining. I'm imagining the step and how different that is from the actual stepping. And so sometimes changing your speed. Sometimes rather going faster can be helpful, and sometimes rather going slowly. But when you start to go slowly, you can feel your shoulders getting tight, and maybe shake it off, even brush it off if you don't feel embarrassed. All the memory of the body. Acknowledged as only a mental experience in the moment. And right now there's so much happening that's already here without any imagination, memory, idea. So noticing when it's getting towards controlling and trying too hard, and then remembering you do know how to walk and you're
body does heal itself. And then a sense of stepping into the whole. Like a tree swaying in the wind, like a child, like an elephant, like whatever. If that helps. Or like nothing, just simply a flow of sensations. So, and then if you just come back to standing, then I'll just briefly mention some possible hand positions that could be for any posture, standing, walking, sitting, lying. And one is just to hold any finger in any way, or more than one. This comes from the Japanese art called Jinshin Butsu. And I just don't want to forget to mention that, these possibilities. Some people find it really helpful for the mind to come down. So there's no special way of holding this. Even you could kind of just not think Jinshin Jutsu and just think, hands, what do you want to do? Okay, and you go, oh, what Jinshin am I doing? I'm holding four fingers. And then calling it Jinshin Jutsu can help us just honor that and just stay with it instead of, you know, because no one's charging you $100 an hour to hold your own fingers, we don't. Because it's not, okay, at 2 o'clock, I've got to remember my appointment to hold my fingers. And then we just never get around to it. So you can do also one hand holding itself. That's also helpful, especially if you're in daily life doing something like this. And then this is really great, holding yourself. So that if possible, the hands are in the armpits, fingers in the back. Or on the shoulders, which can usually better skin on skin just because it holds better. It's less slippery. And so you can kind of like wiggle yourself in there, or just one side, or whatever. And then if it sticks, if it doesn't, okay. And then this could be front or back. The wrist, or the, this is another place, see that, the web. And I just want to mention this one that's not so obvious, but it's so helpful for me, people helping myself. So one shoulder and one hip. And this is, you know, unless you have a pocket, which if you do, that's perfect. Because you don't have to be on a specific acupuncture point, you're just in the area. Or you could wrap something around you and to make a little kind of like that for your hand. Or if you're just sitting or lying down, you can find ways with cushions to do that. There's one more area that you'll just, if you're interested, you'll find your way, but it would be the inner knees. So I'm not suggesting to do this while standing. But it can be done lying on your side with one or both hands. It can be done with your foot, but be really careful of your back. You would want probably cushions to keep the bent leg more towards vertical than, and you don't want to be trying to hold it up so you're relaxed. This is the sofa or cushions or whatever behind me, and this is the cushion there. And if you're sitting, then there's obviously ways to do it. Mostly thanks for being here.